Compassion is going to be the topic of this evening. Something that I've kind of started to think about, having my granddad in the hospital, and we were around the holiday season, seeing a couple of homeless people right off of I-40, and then a couple of people, I don't know if they were hitchhikers or just crazy enough to walk across the Texas panhandle, but anyway, they were seeing them too, and it got to me thinking more about compassion. And as usual, my lessons come from stuff that I have a hard time dealing with, and one thing that I do lack in my life is compassion. We're going to begin with John chapter 3, verse number 16 and 17, and we're going to first look at God's compassion towards us. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, from the beginning, God did not want man to perish. You know, to me, whenever something doesn't go right, especially at the very beginning, it's a good sign that we should just, you know, scrap the whole idea and start over. With Adam and Eve, the world wasn't very old. I would have scrapped the whole thing and started over, you know. And his compassion with man from the very beginning was great. In Romans chapter 5, verse number 6 through 9, it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. But peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him." In order for us to have forgiveness of our sins, God had to send Christ to die on the cross for us. You know, that right there is compassion. The most compassion that we as human beings will ever have is to have forgiveness for the things that we have done wrong in our lives. Psalm 78 and verse 38 says, "But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath." We look back into the Old Testament, and time after time, once again, I probably would just scrap the children of Israel. Hey, let's just, we just start over. It might be best if we just start from ground zero. But he had compassion on them, same as he does for us today. Psalms 103 and 13 says, "Like his fathers pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him." Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 21 through 22. "This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not." You know, in times past, God always looked upon man with compassion, not always just giving us, not giving us what we deserve. But it would have been easy. I mean, it would have been an easy thing to do to just start over, wouldn't it? To not necessarily just to spend time with fixing things. You know, it's a whole lot easier whenever we see someone that is suffering to just turn away. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot of effort to just turn away from the bad things. You know, it does take a lot of effort to do something about it. And I guess that's one of the main differences in between having compassion on someone and just kind of caring. You know, there's a lot of times that I just kind of care. You know, I feel bad that you're going through what you're going through. You know, that's tough, and that's usually about as far as my compassion goes. But compassion is having the action to change and to do something about it. Next, we're going to look at Christ's compassion on man. In Matthew, and throughout a lot of the chapter of Matthew, we read about Christ's compassion. You know, he was sent and to so the world could see that he was the Son of God, and that's why he did a lot of these miracles that he did. But he didn't have to. I mean, he did walk on water. He turned water into wine. He did a lot of things to show his power. He did not have to help people, but he did. He had compassion on them. Matthew chapter 20, verse number 29 through 34. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" They say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Now here we have Christ going with a group of multitude, or a group of people. The multitude was trying to keep the blind men quiet. And I'm sure the multitude was probably noisy, could have been loud. He did not have to stop. He could have easily just kept on going like he didn't even hear them. But he had compassion on these two men. In Mark chapter 1, verse number 40 and 42, it said, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed." In Luke chapter 7, verse number 11 through 15, "And it came to pass the day after, that when he went to a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people, now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother." And I'm not 100% sure of back in this time with a widow woman, but in the Middle East, you do not want to be a widow. A young woman that was married at one time and her husband's dead, usually after that, the males are the dominants. You know, there's a lot of things that can happen to a widow woman in the Middle East. And so for this woman to lose her husband and then also to lose her son, her only son, there's no male heir to take care of her. Therefore, everything that she has can be stripped from her, and she is left to fend for herself. In most cases nowadays, that usually does not end very well for the women. Christ showed compassion on this lady. I kind of think in my own mind that maybe he knew what could have happened to her. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 32 through 39. Go and look at Christ, his compassion towards mankind. This is one of the few examples that I could find of this. Matthew 15, verse number 32 through 39. "Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on this multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I also send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, What should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus said unto them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, Seven, and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the seven loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. They did all eat and were filled. And they took up the broken meat that was left seven baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men besides women and children. And he sent away the multitude and took ships and came unto the coast of Magdala. These people believed in Jesus and they followed him 3 days. You know, that's a long time without having a snack. And what they probably got was not a whole lot, but it was enough to get them home. And that was his goal. He showed compassion. He showed mercy on these people. And a lot of times they can go hand in hand. I know I don't necessarily show a whole lot of mercy on people that I have a tendency to judge them. I see somebody that's hurting and I automatically think, you know, well, is this person doing anything to help themselves? That's usually the first thing that goes through my mind. You know, a lot of us here work 5 days a week, 6 days, 7 days a week. You know, do you have a whole lot of compassion on somebody that's asking for a handout? I know sometimes I usually don't, but I also don't know their situation. You think of what a lot of people nowadays turn to besides Christ. If they don't have Christ in their life, what is there for them to help them cope with the bad problems that are going on in their lives? A lot of times it's alcohol. A lot of times it's drugs. You know, and for me to give them money to go get their next fix, you know, who am I to judge them? You know, that person might just hit a streak of hard luck and just want a Happy Meal, you know. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 32 through 38. As he went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He cast out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. As Christians, this is one of the most important, I think, one of the most important things that we can do on having compassion towards mankind, is teaching them about Jesus Christ. You know, knowing one person, having that one person in their life can change it. Jesus saw the need for teachers. In verse chapter 10, we read at the very beginning, he tells his disciples to go forth. He tells them to go forth and he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. We are to care for one another as Christians. When we see a brother or sister in need, we are supposed to help them. 1 Peter 3 and 8 says, Finally be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 17 says, But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You know, Christ gave us examples of having compassion. You know, we might not be able to heal somebody that's blind, or has any type of diseases, you know, might not be able to heal them, but we can help them. And it's our job as Christians to do so. Luke chapter 10, verse number 25 through 37 says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. These verses illustrate the point that we should not only have compassion on our brethren and for those we love, but for everyone who is in need, for those that we come across. You know, I'm sure as the priest walked by, he just said, Oh man, that's bad luck. Doesn't look like you're going to make it. You know, maybe the Levite wasn't able to. You know, maybe he didn't have the means. You know, there's a lot of people that we come across today that we might not think that we're able to help them. But a lot of times, it's the little things that help people. You know, something small can go a long ways. You know, I was hauling hay one summer. I was probably, I was a teenager, 16, 17 years old. I was in the, down at Clinton Amy's house in the hay bottom. And there wasn't any wind, and it felt like it was about 150 degrees outside and humid. And I really did. I looked like it. I was drenched, you know, sweat covered me. And any minute now I'm going to faint. You know, this is the end. I'm going to die right here on this hay trailer. And my Uncle Dan, he was on the trailer with me, and he hollered to Clint. I think Clint was driving. And he said, Stop the trailer. And then they stopped and got out, got the water jugs out, and gave me a drink of water. And next thing you know, I kind of perked up, and we went on hauling hay, you know. Little things, you know. It was just a drink of water. You know, we'd stop for 10 minutes. They show compassion. You know, I guess they could have let me faint and kind of kicked me off the hay trailer and kept on sacking hay, but they didn't. You know, we as Christians, we can have compassion on a lot of people. You know, and I was preparing this lesson, Brian said, Okay, now you got compassion. You told me what we need and everything, but how do we fix that problem? You know, there a lot of us are good at other things than others are. That's just the fact of it. There's some people in here that are good at compassion and I'm not. Call me up. Call one of your friends up. Take them with you whenever you're going to go visit those that are in need. You know, and eventually maybe I'll get more comfortable with having compassion on people. And then I'll go out and I'll have compassion on people and I'll take somebody else with me. It was a philosophy in the military as well as on a volunteer fire department. And I'm sure those that have served on one can justify you never go alone. you know, you always take somebody with you. And I think this is the best way to combat having compassion on people, is to take somebody with you. You know, strength in numbers.